Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Greetings.
Hello.
Today we're going to be playing Tang Garden, designed by Francesco Testini and Pierluca Zizzi of Hyboria and Signori? Signori? It's developed by Pierpaolo Paoletti. The artist is Matthew Mizek, and it is published in 2020 by Thundergriff Games. The description is, the Tang Dynasty, 618 to 907, is considered the first golden age of the classic Chinese garden. Emperor Xuanzang built a magnificent imperial garden, the Garden of the Majestic Clear Lake near Xi'an, and lived there with his famous concubine, Yang Guifei. Players take the role of engineers who have been summoned to build a garden while balancing elements of water, rock, and greenery. They need to decorate the garden with pavilions, bridges, different types of vegetation, and animals such as birds and goldfish. During the construction, characters will visit the garden to inspect how natural elements are arranged and admire the surrounding landscape. Mechanics are card drafting, set collection, tile placement, and variable player powers. The box art, a painting of a, I wouldn't really say a garden, maybe it is, kind of a lot of mountains. It's kind of that area in China that has the really like pillar type mountains with some pagodas going on, some rocky outcroppings, some sort of elk, and then like a cool background. I like the background with like the koi fish and the white space.
Yeah.
It seems more like a preserve, less like a garden and more like a preserve, the way it's laid out here. But yeah, it's a very beautiful cover art picture. It reminds me back to like Takinoko, which was the panda one that was, or like Takedo with that like super pretty art.
Yeah, this one is a little more of like a, I don't know, I don't want to say realistic because it's not really, but it does have a little more.
Yeah, it's a little less of that like screen printing type art.
Yeah.
No, it definitely, I feel like it has that more kind of like Western colorization feel to it.
It has like more of a digital feel, like a more modern digital feel, but in the style of a traditional. It's really cool looking. I don't really have it. Go Google the box art. It looks cool.
I think like they're definitely portraying items that are very like would be seen in a Chinese screen, for instance, right? Or screen painting. But the execution of it, I feel like, is more of a very precision, almost like trying to be realistic.
All right. So based on all this, would you pull it off the shelf, Kiwi?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything about the designers or anything like that. I don't even think I've heard of the game. Maybe I've heard it in passing, but like the art's really pretty and I would pick it up for the art. And then the back sounds interesting. It sounds different, I feel like.
I'm a big fan of the Tang Dynasty and teaching about it because it is, especially from like the world perspective, one of those times when you really start talking about the expansion of Chinese cultural influence. It's certainly like knowing about the history, obviously, I go more into that in a moment. But yes, in short, yes.
I'm going to say yes. I'm trying to think because like the box art is very pretty. That alone would probably get me to pick it up off the shelf. The description is interesting. The mechanics are kind of where when I was like, ooh, I'm excited to see what this game's going to be like. Then I was like, card drafting, set collection. There's not much in the mechanics that really like stands out to me. So hopefully it's one of those games where it's like they do cool things with sort of like basic stuff, but nothing really jumps out at me mechanically. But just based on the art and sort of the description, it sounds interesting. So, yeah. So how do we think it's played? So in reading those mechanics, let's see. So obviously we're going to be trying to build the garden with tiles, I think.
Really? I thought, because I went with card drafting set collection. We're building the, but yeah.
But that's when I was reading them in tile placement is what threw me off. So I'm guessing like you would have like a water area tile, rock tile, greenery tile, right? And you're constructing it that way. And maybe the cards tell you what options on tiles you can pick.
I was going more with kind of like the Takedo Konagawa. Is that
Konagawa?
element of the cards doing it. Players take the role of engineers. Variable player powers. So maybe the cards or the set collections that we're given with the cards are like based on maybe like one of us will have like more skills in like water features and the other one's going to have more skills in
like the fountain
trees.
Guy.
I mean, it's variable player powers.
Well, I hope it doesn't have bathrooms because BP's going to take the ball.
That does throw me off because it's like usually variable player powers is very like characters or roles. Nothing jumps out at me as a specific role other than like you just said, like it's not like, oh, I'm playing, you know, Bob, the vegetation man.
This is a hard one.
I'm going to say set collection. I'm thinking like a King Domino style where like you want to have grouping. So like, you know, you're going to get points for having a large section of water. Okay. I think that might be the set collection piece where you're trying to like get big clumps of like various things set up so you don't end up with like a mismatch. And then, of course, you want to match your goldfish and your birds so you can have gold birds.
And so, okay, then I see what you're saying. Then you're drafting the cards and the cards are going to tell you how many of the different types of tiles you can get to lay down. I think that sounds good, though. Yeah,
yeah, we're going to go with that. I think we're getting there. All right. A continuation of the history.
Oh, yeah. So I will really keep it brief, but it really is one of those exciting.
Hold on. I'm going to interrupt you because you do it to me all the time. She literally has an entire page drawn up and the whole thing is highlighted. Carry on.
No, these are my notes for class.
It's class notes, but
yeah, these are my lecture notes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to give you the full lecture. Don't worry.
Let me pick out the important parts. Just click Control A and highlight.
Yeah, so the Tang Dynasty is really known for its influence and its richness. Also, because it built on dynasties before and roads and transportation systems before, it's also seen as this period of not only the expansion of Buddhism, but also various early forms of Christianity. Some of the Tang like concubines and imperial mistresses were also known to be Nestorian Christians, but there was a kind of on again, off again love affair with Buddhism throughout China during this period of time as it made its way eastward from India. And so that idea of when I see the mountain ranges like that, because the actual capital in Tang Dynasty, Chang'an at the time, was actually a little more westward where you start to see all of these types of, right, spiraled mountains and all of those huge caves with the huge Buddhas. And so again, like it depended who was in power, whether Buddhists were being kind of promoted or persecuted. But in general, they were able to use transportation systems like the canal system, right? Like the Grand Canal that still exists today to be able to grow foods and stuff in the south and import them into the north. So they were able to specialize a lot more. You see the city there, Chang'an, the capital city, was like a super cosmopolitan with like over 50 million people living it at the time. And I mean, this is like, right, 600 to around 900. So this is even before Charlemagne, right, in Western Europe, for those of you more familiar with Western European. And we're talking about sophisticated bureaucracy based on meritocracy. The civil exams system is being put in place and administrators have to take like these days long's worth of exams. And that becomes something that's really attractive to the neighbors, especially Korea and Japan. So like in a world history sense, this is where we start to talk about Chinese influence in Korea and Japan, and even to a certain extent, Vietnam. And so, yeah, so it's just, it really is this rich period that sees like a cultural flowering and even some opportunities for women in all of that. So yeah, there we go. I kept it short.
Nice. Eric, any questions? Mm-hmm. All right. So do you guys want to know how to play?
I don't know if he had any questions.
It's too late. I've already moved on.
Okay.
Like any good class, we're just going to pause momentarily to ask for questions and then immediately move on because we don't have time for this bullshit. The game is played over a series of rounds with players taking turns placing garden tiles or decorations until the game end is triggered. And once it's triggered, the round is completed and then scoring determines the winner. The player to have last visited China is the first player and takes the engineer token. If nobody has ever been to China, you select the first player randomly. You could also find the person who's been the closest to China. That was another one that I thought of, or the one who's currently closest. But it doesn't matter because I'm pretty sure the first player is going to be me. I was in Hong Kong in 2015.
Oh, I was Eric? in Shanghai in 2011.
Yeah, I was and in never, Hong Kong oh, yeah, you, in 2010. No, 2011.
Boom. It was me. On a player's turn, they will perform one mandatory main action, and then they have three optional actions they can also perform. So the main action is to either build the garden or place a decoration. So to build the garden, you're going to draw a tile from one of the four stacks, and you're going to place it on the board, and it must be adjacent to another tile, and the terrain types on the edge must match. There's one exception to that. Some of the tiles have like red brick walls. Those can be adjacent to any tile or any terrain type. And then you're going to gain bonuses based on that tile placement. So if terrains match, you'll get bonuses. If you enclose terrain, you'll get bonuses. And if you match up stone pathways, you'll get bonuses as well. Your other choice is to place a decoration. So you can draw two decoration cards along with an additional card for each face down tile in the garden tile piles, and then select one and discard the others. You'll then place the appropriate decoration on a corresponding tile of the board and get the immediate bonuses listed on the card.
Damn it, I kind of thought of that. I was thinking, oh, maybe the cards are going to give us like stuff to put on the tiles.
Yeah, I was thinking about it with the birds and goldfishes, like what you might attract to the army.
Okay. So your three optional actions after you've completed your main action. So you can attempt to influence a character. You can only do this once per turn. So each player will start with a character at the beginning of the game, and they're going to advance your cubes on one of the tracks, which is the water, greenery, or rock tracks. And you'll also have to advance those in order to influence certain characters. So they'll say like, hey, you need to be this far along in your rock track in order to influence this character. Mm-hmm. The characters have sort of passive abilities that you can use on your turn. But you also have the option of taking the character and placing it on the map. And the direction that it's facing, the character's facing, the cardinal direction, will dictate what it can see. And at the end game, you'll get points based on the character seeing decorations or tiles of certain terrain types in that direction that they're facing. You can use a lantern. The lanterns give you four different abilities. Everyone's going to start with a lantern of one of each of those abilities. And they'll either let you place additional tiles, place additional decorations, move a character on the garden board or adjust their facing, or influence a character by being able to select a specific one from the deck or choose a specific garden tile. And then once you use them, you have to flip them over and they're used. So your other option is to refresh a lantern. So you can spend three landscape tokens, which you earn by placing tiles on their spot on the board. And you can refresh a previously used lantern to its unused side. So the game end is triggered when three or fewer landscape tokens are on the garden board or when one of the four garden tiles is depleted. The round is finished so that everybody gets the same number of turns and then scoring is completed. So you're going to gain points based on coins you've collected during the game, plus additional coins from decoration cards and for characters. The player with the most points is the winner. If it's a tie, then it goes to the player with the most cubes furthest along their three tracks. And if it's still tied, then it's shared.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's play.
We just finished a game of Tang Garden. To recap, Kiwi had 23 architect points. Okay. BP had 31 rock points. And I won with 36 greenery points.
So what was your winning strategy?
Greenery. I mean, there was a lot going on in the game. So I think I felt like I was all over the place trying to do a little bit of everything, which I wasn't sure if that was going to be like, you know, sometimes we do that in a game and we're like, nope, I should have just focused on a thing. But I think in this game, you kind of want to do a little bit of everything. And so I think we just sort of stumbled our way through, and I like decorating a lot. Kiwi put a bunch of things down for my officer to look at. That helped out.
Because I was trying to get things for my monk to look at.
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know that I really had a strategy any different. Unless, did you guys have a specific strategy?
So I actually did at the beginning. I just want to throw that out there. Okay. I actually had a strategy today because my monk liked rocks. So I was going to go all rocks. And then hermit. I realized what?
You're hermit.
Hermit. Oh, yeah. Sorry. But you want to diversify in this game.
Yeah, you were very pro rock at the beginning.
It was, and then very,
you realized that,
yeah,
there were benefits to water and
green. See, I think I was distracted by the pretty looking tiles that I wanted to place, and that actually helped me in the long run. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So the theme, do you guys feel like you were an architect building a garden?
You do kind of feel like you're building a thing, although we're all building the same garden, so it felt more like we were a dysfunctional team. I mean, I don't know. It's, you're placing tiles. It looks pretty. I think the art really brings in the garden part. I don't know that mechanically it necessarily.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. Like, I think mechanically, like, it doesn't necessarily fit into the theme. I think the theme is really coming out in the art on the tiles, the art on the decorations, adding the decor. Like, I really enjoyed everybody adding decorations to the board and making the map bigger. Like, that was my favorite part of the whole game. Mm-hmm. Like, when somebody, like, I didn't even care if it was mine. I was just like, ooh,
I know,
like,
exactly.
We have koi now, and we have a lotus, and we have, like, nice bridges. Like, that one tile came up with the boat on it. And I was like, I really want to place that boat.
I really thought the boat needed to get down there. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, the koi should definitely go over here, because that's a good little cove for them.
And so you brought up a good point, Eric, and I'm wondering, like, if having it be more cooperative wouldn't be more in line with the theme and the garden.
Well, the way they described it on the box, though, was that we were all, because didn't it say something about, like, somebody coming in to, like, judge our work?
Yeah. And those are the people we're influencing.
Yeah. So we're engineers trying to build this garden. So maybe it's more like we've been given different parts of the garden to create, because we, like, you're the master rock person.
Like, if we were to make this cooperative, it would be a totally different game. So I don't think
that's
the
thing. Yeah.
And I do like, I mean, the other option would be, like, we each have our own board and we're all building our own garden. But, like, I think as we've kind of, we played a lot of games like that over the last, it seems like for a while, that I really liked having a shared board that we're all influencing each other and all messing. I really like that. But just thematically, it was kind of like, why is this jerk building over here? And also, I like the whole, you know, I don't think when you're architecting a garden, you're like, well, we need a mountain back there. Bring in the mountain.
Yeah. Where's the rock guy? My rock guy can't come until Saturday.
I need dragons. You track the dragons.
My dragon vendor's closed. Does anybody know a good dragon vendor?
Yeah. So I don't know. It worked, but it wasn't like 100% like a solid, you know, I feel like this great experience of building a garden. You know what, it could have worked is like you're building like a movie set or something, because that would be like, bring in the dragon.
ooh, you're building a movie set for one of the Kung Fu ghost stories out of HK back in the like 90s.
Yes.
Yeah, good reference. Our audience is really going to connect on that one. And I guess going on the art piece, like, the art really makes it, right? It's really, really pretty. I can't stop looking at this board. So.
Yeah, and I think the cool part is, like, we didn't see all the tiles. Like, every game's going to be different because you're going to start with different starting characters. So, like, you're going to end up with a different picture at the end. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy, because, like, that's one of my favorite parts about Bosque, too, is, like, once everybody has placed their trees, like, it's super cool to just kind of, like, look at the board and see all these different trees. And this game definitely has that aspect, too, where you've got the different trees, the pagodas, the bridges, like, the different tiles. Like, it's just nice to look at.
Bosque definitely is the one that kept coming into my mind, even though it plays very differently. Like, it still has that sort of similar, like, feel to it.
And Carcassonne was another one.
Carcassonne with the tile lays. That's one of the first things I was thinking of when I was reading the rules was,
like, mechanically, I think it works. Because, like, sometimes you get these, like, artistic games that you place things down, but they don't really, it ends up looking like a mess. Like, there's really no reason to make it look good. But I feel like the rules with the paths and the way the tiles are designed, like, it kind of almost makes you, I mean, points wise, it makes sense to place things in a way that also looks good too.
Yeah. It definitely rewards mm-hmm. you for making something nice.
This, some of the, we did at the beginning, I will have to say, like, if we're going to start mixing art to mechanics to rules, that we did at the beginning, lots of symbols.
Oh yeah, that piece of the art is like a rough.
The cards, there are a lot going on. So in that aspect, I mean, yes, it's beautiful. The board itself, I think one thing nobody has brought up yet is the, again, that background that was on the cover, right, on the exterior of the yeah. board, the box is the layout of the board. And to me, it almost reminds me of like a coloring book page of the koi, yeah. right? And of like a pond, because it is, it's just like the outlines where you could put in the color and then you're dropping the tiles, which are the color, and you're building this. It's more like a stage, because right, the landscapes are this stage. But the cards themselves, there's a lot to take in. I don't know that they could simplify it. I think it's just one of those ones that's got, as we move into the, I know we've got mechanics before rules, but like there's a slight learning curve with the cards and things like that. But yeah, no, it's super cool. Like, yeah, the pieces, like it's got a table presence on top of like beautiful tiles and beautiful cards. So yeah.
You were asking whether or not they could simplify it. And I think they've already simplified it to yeah. the point where like it's too simple. And I think what they were trying to do is they really wanted the art to take center stage on yes. all of these cards and tiles. So by having,
and they are, they're great.
Yeah. By having the, instead of doing text and doing icons instead, I think that's what they were trying to yeah. do, was they were trying not to hide the art with text. But I think what happens is it like, makes for a lot
fish
of
kind
of
there. That
koi. It's just pretty. The text would have been helpful.
So mechanics, Kiwi.
You, Eric, you mentioned it at the beginning, like the mechanics weren't anything like huge or different. And I agree. Like, I don't think the mechanics, like there's nothing in this game that's like earth shattering or like changing. They just took mechanics that everybody knows and just, you know, continued on with those mechanics. Like, I think Carcassonne was a great, you know, we laid tiles just like you would lay in Carcassonne. And you get points just like you would in Carcassonne when you lay your tiles. So, but mechanically, I think it...
But it's different than Carcassonne, even mechanically, besides the tile placement.
Right, the other stuff with right. the game, yeah. I think mechanically, it's nothing crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's not revolutionary except for the art element. So right. it's like the mechanics and the art try to bring it together to the theme.
Yeah. And I thought, but that being said, I thought the mechanics that they used did go together.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah. They worked.
Yeah.
Sometimes it did feel like they were just piling more on, I think. Like we were saying with the learning curve, it just seemed like there was more stuff. Like, oh, and then there's also this stuff over here. And so it did work together, but it also kind of felt like one of those games where like, it seemed like they're like, we need more to this. And they just added more in, and not necessarily in a bad, it did all work, but that's kind of what it felt like. Like, it just felt like there was more and more stuff. Not as bad as some games like Coimbra, where it felt like there was way too much stuff. And it was like, if they had just simplified down.
Yeah.
Or Feast for Odin, where it was like 100 different places you could go.
So I don't know that I would take anything out, but as we were playing, it did feel like, oh man, we can also do this and you can also do that.
It has that like list of four simple mechanics. Like the way that it's interacting,
which may have influenced me going into it, because I thought, oh, this is going to be a much like lighter game. And then Kiwi kept listing things we right. could do. And I was like, oh, my God, I wasn't paying yeah. attention. So the rules. So since we're kind of talking about learning it, it was mm-hmm. a lot to take in, maybe because of our going in expectations. It wasn't a lot to learn, I felt like, because it is tile placement, set collection. Like we kind of knew all that. It was more of like, what are your options and how do you close mm-hmm. things. It was a little hard to track that too, of like, oh, I gotta remember to get my coins for my path and my, you know, what did I enclose, what did I connect. There was kind of a mm-hmm. lot of like little pieces like that to try to keep track of mm-hmm. in your turn.
Yeah. And then because of the icons, it was
especially at the beginning,
yeah, we were in the rule book a lot mm-hmm. to try and figure out. And then the rule book, like, they tried to lay it out okay,
yeah.
but like there's a solo section. Yeah. There's a solo section that like I kept like reading into and then mm-hmm. going like, okay, no, this isn't what I want. This is solo. But like there wasn't like a clear indication on some of the pages that it was for the solo rules, except on the very first page. And then just, you know, there were some examples, but I don't think there were enough based on like how the rules were laid out themselves. Mm-hmm. So I would have liked to have seen a better, just better descriptors and a better layout. So the rule book isn't great. I think by the end of it, by the time we got to the end of the game, I think we all had a pretty good feeling about how everything worked. Yep.
Yeah.
It just, because of the way the rules were laid out and how I understood it and then seeing the board and doing all the stuff, it took us a little bit to get there. I think if we played it again, or if you were the type of group that has played it multiple times, you could definitely get to the point where you're like, okay, we just need to match this icon with what's on the landscape and go from there.
So a couple of things on that. Like, I feel like there could be a clear reference page, like one of those little reference cards, right? When you said it like that, that just kind of clicked, because we always really appreciate having those little reference cards out on the board. But yeah, like, I feel like when I was even, because like Kiwi was in it so much, I felt like I had to have it up as well. And I just felt like you'd have to read it a couple of times your first time going through. But like you said, like after going through it a couple of times, you'd be much more comfortable with it. So I feel like there can be some clarity in how it's laid out and written to make it first time learner. I mean, especially because it's such a beautiful game, I'd really want it to attract more people than I feel like it does at this point.
Yeah. And after I read the rules and did the summary, I was like, okay, I think I understand this. But about two rounds in, I think in the back of my head, I was thinking, man, I really wished I had watched a video on a how to play. Because a lot of games, like I'll read the rules and I'm like, oh, heck no, I'm watching a video. And I'll go find a how to play video and watch it to then supplement my rules reading. Uh-huh. This one, I was just like, no, I think I have this.
Yeah, it's one of those two rounds tricky in, games.
I was just like, man, I wish I had found, like watch it played or something. And
I think like it's easy to say it. Like, yeah, I think some people be like, oh, yeah, of course you're not going to get it the first time. Like, but the second playthrough, you'll get it. But like, I think with the way games are now, where you kind of have one shot to impress people, to get them to come back and just spread the word and to. So like, I think it's important that at least halfway through the game, like people have a really good understanding of what's going on. I do think that's like something to strive for in design or development, is like getting it so that, you know, of course people are going to learn at different paces and stuff, but you know, like this one kind of got it at the end. Like you said, the kind of that last round or two, I think it all clicked and we all got it all. But like, if you didn't achieve that, then that could really hurt like people coming back to the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Player interaction.
I would say it's indirect, because I mean, there's a lot of tiles to choose from if you want to do tiles. There were a couple times where it's like, oh man, I really wanted that, but I felt like there were enough choices that even if somebody took a tile that you really wanted, you still had good choices to choose from.
A player character.
Well, I was going to say there aren't a lot of characters though. Uh-huh. So like, You could certainly do like, I'm going to take this character because I know somebody else wants it.
Right.
But
it's really hard, because I thought of ways that I wanted to thwart you, but it was really hard. Like, there was no way. Like,
I think what I like about it is that, like I said, you could each have your own little board where you're building your own garden where you don't really interact. So I do like that it's a combination, but it's almost more of like a cooperative feel to it, because like when we said we're all trying to build this garden, and I was like, oh, you know, can we put this here, this lotus would look nice here. Like, it almost had that sense of like, we're playing against each other in the game, but we're working together to make a pretty garden.
It's almost like a semi-co-op almost. Yeah,
it's not mechanically there, but you want it to look nice. So I really like that aspect to it. Like, if this had been a game where we were all just sort of doing our own thing and had the same level of mechanical interaction, which is kind of some hate drafting maybe, or building off of each other. I think one time Kiwi enclosed my garden. That was annoying. If it were that level of interaction, but it didn't also have this, like, let's build this pretty garden together, I think it would have had a lot less appeal. So I like that kind of piece of the interaction.
Yeah. BP, like, she picked a willow and she put it in that one grid that was like, it had the small garden surrounded by pathways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I put that piece there. And when she put that tree there, I was like, I really fancied it up a bit nice there.
Yeah, well, as soon as she did it, like, I was just like, yay, like, that would look, like, so nice, like, in real life. Like, that's what I was thinking of.
And well, and
like,
that's why I put the willow versus the pine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just made more sense.
I was like, I don't want to look at a pine tree.
When you were going to put it there, I was just about to say, like, that was my token. And then you put it there, and I was like, that's lovely.
Yeah. And, like, yes, and definitely. Lots of the pieces were picked because they were lovely.
So I like that piece, the interaction. It's not really part of the game, but I hopefully it comes out in most groups.
It is part of the game.
Well, yeah. It is, but I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not mechanically like they're it's listing. It's a semi-co-op mechanics. And you get points for working together, like, you know. And I could see there's a lot of groups that probably wouldn't get that.
No.
But hopefully most groups do. And I think this is a game that would appeal to like those type of people. Would you play it again, BP?
I mean, now that we've been talking about it a little bit more, I feel like I would. So pretty.
Why were you thinking you wouldn't? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I wasn't thinking that I wouldn't, but I just wasn't like, especially at the beginning and kind of getting frustrated with trying to figure out how to score points at the end. And then it just suddenly ended.
Yeah, the end kind of caught us off guard, which, I mean, maybe in a real game, it wouldn't because you'd see the stack depleting. Online, that may have been our issue. Like, it's like Cat Lady, where you can kind of get a feel for when it's going
to
end.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd play it again just to try it again and to see if I could strategize. Gosh, I sound like a totally different person.
I know. Who are you today?
I don't know.
Yeah, I pretty much am right with you. I was at the early game. I was like, I don't know. This feels like too much and too much going on. And it didn't connect with me yet. But, like, right towards the end of the game, it really started to like pick up. And then, like you said, in our discussion and then just looking at this board during the discussion, I was like, it's so pretty. I want to do it again. I want to build another garden.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
yeah.
I'd play it again. You kind of got to build up to it. It's, you know, it's not like, I don't know, a favorite game, but I would definitely play it again it's just a cool little experience, I guess. Kiwi?
Yeah, I would definitely play it again. I don't think the mechanics wise, like, I don't think I would replace anything in the collection with it or add it to the collection, because I don't think it's like that great in terms of mechanics. But in terms of like board presence and how it looks and just like how I felt even when other people were doing stuff to the board, like, it was a fun game to play and I would definitely play it again.
Yeah, I like that. Like, it's a pot. Like, I think it. Really good for newer players where you just want like a positive gaming experience. Like, I feel like it captures that really well. All right. That is Tang Garden.
So if you would like to hear any of our thoughts about a game that maybe first impressions might help others play a little bit more, send those thoughts our way. Email firstturntabletop@gmail.com. Or Twitter, Instagram, we can be found at First Turncast. And the podcasting camel as he tiptoes across the bridge, looking around the magnolia tree, says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you and play more games.
I don't even know why I have an outro listed.
I follow it.
No, you don't.
I totally follow it. Word for word.
What?
With some embellishment.
With some embellishment.
Whatever. You're just benefiting from my hard work.
Like any good architect.
Yeah, you take the student's work and pass it off as your own.
Path going in between. That's nice.
A path. A path.